Good morning, and welcome once again to Studies in the Gospels here on the Gospel Radio Network. Hi, my name is Chris McElyea, your host of this program, where each week we examine the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we are in a section of our study we have called A Year of Development in Jerusalem. And today we are going to examine Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, and that being the parable of the Good Samaritan. The parable of the Good Samaritan is often referred to as the service parable. In this parable, we can find real-life application of godliness. The lawyer tests Jesus with a question that leads to this parable. The question was a great question, but unfortunately it was asked with the wrong intentions. So let's go now to Luke chapter 10 and begin in verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil on wine. And he set him on his animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. Now we go back to verse 25. And it says, And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So a lawyer asked Jesus the steps to eternal life. He asked the question, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? This is one of numerous instances where Jesus would be tempted by men. The temptations of Jesus should give us comfort that we through him might overcome. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." We can note in verse 25 that eternal life is inherited, but one must do something to receive the inheritance. Verse 26 says, "He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So Jesus directs him to the law. What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? Eternal life is thus connected to what is written. We must comply with what is written to receive our inheritance. Verse 27 says, "So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." The lawyer actually summed up the law quite well. Duty to God and duty to man. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, it said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Leviticus 19 and verse 18 said, "You shall not take any vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Verse 28 says, "And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." Jesus commands the law to him. It is directly related to eternal life. Do this, and you will live. One must do right by God and by his fellow man if he hopes to see heaven. It is one thing to know the Scripture, and an entirely different thing to live the Scripture. Verse 29, "But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor?" He had not developed a love for his neighbor on a scriptural level. The lawyer now begins to feign ignorance as he hypocritically tries to justify his failure to love his neighbor. Who is my neighbor? But how much different is he from many of us? Jesus now uses the parabolic teaching of the Good Samaritan. Now, we might note that the distance from Jerusalem to Jericho was about 18 miles. And one section of the road was called the Bloody Way, since so much blood had been shed by robbers. Now, let's notice verse 30. "Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." So a man is attacked by thieves. They stripped him of his clothing. They beat him, and they left him for dead. The man was most likely a Jew. Now let's notice the next two verses. "Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by, on the other side. These were two men with religious vows of service, the priest and the Levite. They saw the man, they saw his condition, and they turned aside to avoid him. Consider the Levite. The tribe of Levi was special in that all priests came from this tribe. They were looked upon as being more religious than others, sort of an early day clergy. However, all Levites were not priests. Notice Leviticus chapter 21, verses 17 through 23. Speak to Aaron, saying, "No man of your descendants in succeeding generations who has any defect may approach to offer the bread of his God. For any man who has a defect shall not approach. A man blind or lame, who has a marred face, or any limb too long. A man who has a broken foot or broken hand, or is a hunchback or a dwarf. Or a man who has a defect in his eye, or eczema or scab, or is a eunuch. No man of the descendants of Aaron the priest, who has a defect, shall come near to offer the offerings made by fire to the Lord. He has a defect. He shall not come near to offer the bread of his God." Now the priest and the Levite probably had numerous excuses as to their action. Perhaps he was fearful that those who mugged the man in the ditch might still be close by. Maybe he was in a hurry. Maybe he was just too good for the presumed sinner in the ditch. Whatever the case, he was obviously not much of a priest, and the Levite was certainly nothing special. The lowly Samaritan about to come along would definitely have excuses to avoid the Jew in the ditch, since he would have been despised by the Jew. He did not use excuses. The priest and Levites were the ones who were supposed to be better at religion. It obviously had not worked on them to much effect. We might say, like many today, they had left their religion at the building. Do you? Verse 33. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion." Now the Samaritans had virtually no dealings with the Jews. Samaritans were hated by the Jews because they were of mixed races. Remember John chapter 4 and verse 9. "Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.'" But the Samaritan here saw the man and had compassion towards him and gave him aid. But the Samaritan, when we consider the fact that the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, the fact that he showed compassion makes it even more surprising. The man in need of help received from the one he would least expect to offer him help. Consider verse 34. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The Samaritan took him to an inn and cared for him there. The Samaritan was willing not only to give his time for the man, but also his material goods to help this man recover. The Samaritan was like State Farm. Like a good neighbor, he was there. The Samaritan was the real neighbor to the Jew. Recall 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Now, verse 35, on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. By him leaving 2 denarii, he was leaving the approximate value of 2 days' wages. How many men today would do that for a stranger that consider him not much higher than a dog? So taking his leave, he gives money to the innkeeper with the promise to pay more if needed. Verse 36, so which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Since the lawyer supposedly did not know who his neighbor was to start with, Jesus now asked him which of these men was the man's neighbor. The lawyer would rightfully answer the one who showed mercy, since the answer was quite clear to anyone who would have been listening. And then we come to verse 37. And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Would the lawyer now put into practice the things that Jesus taught? Would he now do the right things and with the right heart? A man who can be one is who is near or just a fellow man. It could be any member of the human family. So which of these three rules do we choose to live by? Do we live by the thieves' rule? What's yours is mine if I can take it. Or do we live by the rule of the priest and the Levite here? What's mine is mine, and I intend to keep it. Or the Samaritan's rule. What's mine is yours, if you need it. Indeed, our neighbor becomes anyone we can help. So now, let's notice just a couple of more things that we can take from this parable of the Good Samaritan. Like many people, the lawyer was interested in studying the scripture, but he was not interested in being transformed by it. Many people are like him today. Worship and the study of the word should change our lives. The priest and the Levite were not changed by it because they were not sincere. The priest and the Levite had knowledge, but it alone did not make them right. Recall 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Here I'll use the King James. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. James 4:17 says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. True biblical love is far more than just lip service. True biblical love is active, and it is far more than just emotion. 1 John 3:18 says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Our Lord Jesus was full of love and action. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. We are to do good to all men as Christians. Galatians 6:10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Romans 12:20, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. We must not allow prejudice to prevent us from doing good. James 2:9 says, if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. And finally, we must grow in knowledge, but we must also grow in practice and application. James 2, verses 14 through 17, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give him the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. And 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Great lessons for us from the parable of the Good Samaritan. I want to thank you for joining me today. If the Lord wills, we'll see you again next week at this same time for another edition in Studies in the Gospels. And remember, this program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time and be posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, and I hope you have a wonderful day.